Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper and Capital Flow, providing cash flow solutions for businesses in Ireland with invoice discounting.
Today FM.
Okay, Ian Guide, our markets editor of the Business Post, joins us for our daily business update. Talk to me first about the post offices around the country and this report which suggests they need additional government support if they're to remain open. This hasn't been produced by the company itself on Post, has it?
No, this is a report carried out by the Irish Post Office Network, and it was carried out by Grant Thornton for all of the independent postmasters around the country. Now, they are own their businesses separately to On Post. And as you can imagine, Matt, there has been a dramatic fall in footfall across these post offices this year. They would, of course, be very busy as people collect their social welfare payments, people using them for, again, sending posts, sending parcels, sending mail. But there has been a dramatic fall in footfall. And they say that if they are to fulfill their public service obligation, i.e. be open for people to send mail, collect parcels, to be able to provide those social welfare payments, they need a support by the state. They point out that in other countries, including the Netherlands, including many continental countries, the governments over there subsidise the post office network. And they believe that if Ireland is to have a widespread postal network, not just in rural towns, Matt, they are talking large post offices in large urban areas as well, that these post offices must be supported to the government. And they suggest that the figure would be somewhere in the region of 17 million euro per year. Now, there has been a big fall in the number of post offices around the country. There was an agreement between the post office network and On Post that some of the network would close. Some of the smaller post offices would merge with larger ones in towns. Some would move to different premises. Some might be in different stores. So therefore, there has been a reduction, but they do warn there will be a catastrophe across the post office network, that there will be a huge reduction in the coming years if they don't get government support. Now, Matt, you could argue that perhaps we've seen bank branches close, we've seen credit unions close, that the post office network is the one thing still open in many towns, that perhaps they're in shops, perhaps they're in other outlets. And you could argue that we do need somewhere for people to do transactions. They can do basic banking transactions as well. The post office itself, On Post, has gotten into financial services.
Well, so to bring that up, actually, Ian, there's two things that strike me. Hasn't On Post made a great play recently of increasing the range of services available and lending for things like green projects? Now, is it they are being done online rather than actually in the post offices? And secondly, isn't there also enormous potential to use all of these post offices almost as distribution hubs for delivery of packages, that people are buying things over the internet rather than going to shops?
Yeah, if you look at the two things that are growing in post offices, it's not because they're selling more stamps. It's not because they're doing more social welfare transactions. A lot of them are being done online. It is parcel delivery and collection and sending back returns and financial services. There's been a big push into current accounts, credit cards, insurance and mortgages. So they are the things that are growing. I think the question is, Matt, how much volume can go through some of these post offices? Is there enough people coming in, day out to justify having counters being manned? If you're only getting a small number of transactions a week, can you keep them open without having a subsidy? Because, Matt, what you're looking at is here is called a public service obligation, that you will be open all day, every day, 5-6 days a week. And is there enough business to justify it? So, yeah, there is a great opportunity for the post office here. There's a great opportunity for some of these post offices in towns to take advantage of the fact that branches are closing for banks and from insurance companies. But they possibly need help just simply because the volumes may not be there right now. And because, Matt, it's much easier, even for some of these financial services transactions On Post want to do them online. Most applications for loans now, Matt, in banks are processed online. People taking out insurance is done online. People paying credit cards is done online. So you are looking at the shift to online. And that's where the post office network is struggling, because, if you look at what the banks are saying, is the volume isn't there for them. They're cutting back, and the post office network are possibly facing the same thing. I just don't see that. There are hundreds of them around the country. I just don't see, even with a government subsidy, that there is enough business there for them.
Okay, and we will come back to domestic stories in a moment. But in sports news, Tom Malone was telling us about the start of the NBA playoffs in the Disneyland bubble, which they've put together to allow basketball to be played. But some really interesting news coming out of Disney today, which shows perhaps the real state of what's going on in the United States of America.
Yeah, Disney cutting 28,000 jobs from its theme parks in Florida and California. They talk about the fact that there are very few visitors. Florida and California for Disney World and Disneyland are among the worst places for COVID-19 cases in the United States. There are still a number of restrictions, including social distancing in place, which of course makes it very difficult to go on to some of the rides at Disney. And they have said that they have had no choice but to cut these workers. The majority of these workers are part-time employees. About three quarters of them are part-time employees. But they are saying that, look, international tourism is zero coming into America right now. Even getting people to travel from one state to the other to take a holiday is very difficult. And these parks, Matt, which are huge to run, they employ thousands of people, have lost $5 billion, I beg your pardon, so far this year, and looking at losing more money into the winter months.
I suppose if you take the wider point on that as well, Ian, that, you know, when you have the airlines bleating at the moment about green list restrictions and all the rest of it, even if you were to throw open all of the air travel into and out of Ireland, for example, I'm not sure very many Irish people would actually avail of whatever services were made available to them.
Yeah, would you like to go to Florida right now, given the number of cases in Florida that have been, and particularly in an area of the US where the population is older and more susceptible to it? Yeah, and looking at what some of the things that Disney are saying is that even when they have tried to put in all of the social distancing measures, they can't even get enough people through the doors to make it viable to keep some of these parks opening. Now, these job losses do only affect their United States operations. Euro Disney in Paris and some of their parks out in China are actually doing okay, particularly in China, where they've opened up more fully. Things are almost back to normal over there. But you can just see the scale of the job losses coming in various parts of the retail industry, but also you think to hospitality, travel and leisure. And if Disney are suffering, you think of the deep pockets of Disney, yet even they can't survive a $5 billion loss.
Okay, now you had a very interesting piece on the Business Post website today about the Commission of Investigation into the sales by the old Anglo-Irish Bank, renamed IBRC, of debts relating to SiteServe, the construction services company. That investigation started how long ago now at this stage?
Just over 5 years ago, the former Taoiseach Enda Kenny set up a commission of investigation to look into the sale of SiteServe and dozens of other transactions carried out by the former Anglo-Irish Bank, then called the IBRC, that led to losses of more than 10 million euro for the bank. So when it sold on loans and companies, if it took on more than a 10 million loss or wrote down more than 10 million of a loan, these would be looked into as to whether the taxpayer at the end of the day got value for money. Now, the report has been delayed several times. It was due to be handed in to the government today. However, the judge overseeing the inquiry has asked for a further extension until April next year. Now, the Taoiseach in recent days has agreed to this extension. It's caused by the fact that they are still taking evidence. They've heard from dozens of witnesses at the bank, former advisors to the bank, and people involved in these transactions. And they say that they are still required to take evidence, take it virtually because of COVID-19, but also just the volume of work. So the Taoiseach has agreed that the commission can have an extension until the end of next April. Now, Matt, what's also emerged is it's taken 5 years and we still haven't seen the report into the SiteServe.
How much is it cost?
So far, we're looking at costs of in and around between 12 and 14 million euro. Many people believe that the final tab for this module alone will end up being a multiple of this figure, because, of course, you could have third party legal costs to pay out as well. But it has emerged in a report I've seen that the remaining transactions, so 37 further transactions where there were losses or write-downs of more than 10 million euro to the IBRC and by extension to taxpayers, may not end up being investigated. It's emerged that many of these transactions involved entities outside of Ireland, particularly in the United States, but also in Britain and also in Luxembourg. And the Commission pointing out to the Taoiseach in its latest interim report that the parties behind these deals, the parties who took on these loans, took on these companies, may not be amenable to dealing with the Commission and the Irish courts.
And it took them 4 years to find that out. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. Thank you very much, Ian Guider, Markets Editor of the Business Post.
Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper and Capital Flow, providing cash flow solutions for businesses in Ireland with invoice discounting.
Today FM.